WildTalkRadio.com.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Oh, yes!
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
If you're the man, what the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
This is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. I never thought I'd be in a world where Ronda Rousey is on Twitter promoting Vote for the Miz and Dancing with the Stars. But here we are. So rockin', that's Lindsay Ward.
It's 2021, y'all. We're gonna get weird.
We just get weird up in this. Anyway. We're here to talk about everything that went down on Monday Night Raw, and it kicked off with the reunion, the reunited New Day. Big E thanked everyone, thanked everyone below the heavens and then the one above, which brought a tear to everyone's eye when they started chanting for Brody.
Aww.
Big E said they had town business with Roman Reigns and the Usos, and it's their show, and this brought out the Bloodline and led to your opening contest, a hell of a six-man tag, the Bloodline. Roman Reigns and the Usos taking on the New Day with the Bloodline. Picking up the win, you had Lashley come out and destroy members of both sides towards the end of this matchup, allowing Xavier Woods to be distracted, and Roman Reigns beating Woods with a spear. Big intense moments with Big E and Reigns in the match too, which was good.
I really enjoyed this. I thought it was really, really, really good. Like the opening promo with Woods and Kofi and E and all of them being happy for E and everybody cheering for him. Like E cut a really good, strong promo about the win, about what the win meant, about how special this all was. But he also was like, but we gotta talk about business. We have business we have to settle. And that's with Roman and the Usos. And he did a really good job of setting up the match and setting up why they were having the match with the Bloodline. And I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really well done. I thought the match was fantastic between the six of them. You would expect it to be, considering who all's involved in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was a wonderful just opening segment all the way through. It was a nice little send-off for E leaving SmackDown and coming to Raw. And reuniting the New Day, which I think we've all kind of wanted. Like, I understand why they split E out, right? Like, they wanted to make E a single star, but it's like, right now, it makes sense for him to be on Raw with his boys, and he kind of has his backup, especially with Lashley being present, and Lashley being, you know, interfering with chairs and things. So it makes sense for E to have a little bit of backup.
So Lashley then stormed into the offices of Pierce and DeVille and says, Big E cashed in on me. I was hurt. You could see my injury. He would beat either Big E or Roman Reigns in matches. And there was that. Big E would later barge in and go, I want both of them in the ring tonight. And then Heyman tried to, you know, do Heyman things and not have the match happen. But your main event would be a triple threat match, which we'll get to in a minute. You had Matt Riddle and Randy Orton back. It's the weekly Can Riddle Break Orton segment, which included them syncing up headsets that Riddle bought so they could listen to the same Spotify playlist if you know, just so happen they get drafted apart from each other. And then he starts singing Orton's theme, and you see Orton just sort of try not to break.
I'm not sure which I enjoy more, the pairing or just Matt Riddle's constant need to break Randy Orton.
It's amazing. It's one of my favorite parts of the show.
Like, it's so entertaining to watch, because you could just tell Riddle is actively, I don't know, and I shouldn't even say that, if he's actively or he's just inadvertently trying, right? That Randy's just like, this is such shit. I can't believe I'm doing this. This guy's hilarious. I'm, you know, but I have to stay on point. Like, I have to stay focused, you know, that kind of thing. So it's like, it's just really kind of interesting and funny to watch this. Hey, look, Green Bay knows how to win a football game after all. Aaron Rodgers showed up to work. How about that?
So anyway, moving on.
Moving on. But yeah, I enjoy these two very, very much. And I love how it was supposed to be like a one-off or not that long. And now it's, here we are.
Eva Marie lost to Doudrop again. It was like, people like her shouldn't, or can't beat women like me, and then she got her ass kicked. So there was that. In what was, again, a really good match, AJ Styles, Randy Orton, with Randy getting the win. Again, they always have really good matches together.
AJ was having some fun in this one. Him and enjoying himself.
Yeah, he was very much enjoying himself. So that's good. Then we had Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler.
Oh my god.
So quickly, Nia got Shayna up on her shoulder, saying it could take you down in 2 seconds. And then Baszler just sort of snapped. Locked in the Kira Fuda clutch, choked her out. But she wasn't done. She then beat her ass, locked her arm in the steps, kicked it in the steps a couple of times, and you just hear a screech like come from Nia Jax over and over and over again. That could just hurt anyone's ears. But they made Shayna look like a badass.
Finally! I mean, I'm sorry, it was at Nia's expense. But we finally saw a glimpse of the Shayna Baszler of old in NXT. I don't know what they're building Shayna up for, but whatever it is, I'm here for it. I like this. I like this a lot. What was a really nice touch on Shayna's part was the little show of emotion as Nia is laying there screaming in agony and pain because Shayna just broke her arm. Where there's almost kind of a little bit of regret in Shayna for doing what she's done, but she's not 100% sorry for it. Like, it was a nice little moment with her. But yeah, this looked absolutely vicious. Nia sold it exceptionally well. I would say they're firmly and permanently broken up at this point. There is no going back.
You never know. Never say never. Ooh,
They're not going to kiss and make up in a week. Like Humberto and Angel. But like, we'll get to that. But yeah, this was really, really well done, and I'm very excited to see what they do with Shayna.
Speaking of the men you just mentioned, the handsome family, Humberto Carrillo and Angel Garza, defeated Mustafa Ali and Mansoor.
I mean, I guess they forgave each other. I don't know.
Yeah, they looks like they've made up, and they're family. So,
it's all good?
All good.
I'm happy that they're doing something with Humberto, and I'm happy that they're doing something with Angel, because I think they should. Like, Angel is ridiculously talented and charismatic and disgustingly good-looking. So, he should, you know, definitely, they should be doing something with him. And Humberto is exceptionally talented, not as disgustingly good-looking, but still good-looking. So, you know, why not make them a pretty little tag team and have them go out there and do things? I'm a little sad it was at Mansoor and Ali's expense, because they've been building them, and I'd like to see them continue to build them, but it's kind of okay that they took the loss here, because it's just a quick little, like, rebound for them.
It was quick and simple and to the point. Rhea Ripley and Nikki Ash become your new WWE Women's Tag Team Champions by defeating Natalya and Tamina.
They had a really, really great run. As tag team champions, they did a wonderful job. They definitely made the belts relevant. Not that Nia and Shayna didn't, but they added another level of relevancy and importance to the belts that I think they desperately needed. And this was a good, solid little match. I think we all can't deny the power of Rhea and Nikki, and so it makes sense, especially seeing as they are the spokespeople for Connor's Cure this year, that they should have the tag team titles.
Alexa Bliss invited Charlotte Flair to the playground. Alexa wondered, why didn't you bring Charlie? And then she brought out Charlie. Flair was like, I don't want it all. She says she wants the old Alexa Bliss. She wants the 5 feet of fury, the mean girl, championship material Bliss. Flair said Bliss can fool everyone in the building and at home, but she can't fool her. She said everything Bliss is doing right now is to hide how fragile she really is. And Charlotte's like, Bliss used to walk the ring with a title in her arm. Now she walks the ring with a doll in her arm. How's it feel that a doll's more popular than you? She said her mind games are a joke. She said she went from headlining WrestleMania 35 to playing with dolls on Raw. Flair, she's being almost superhero and a nightmare. Now she's going to be the grown-ass woman who dresses like a kid. Flair said she was going to make it her job to beat the sense back into Alexa Bliss. She asked Bliss if you want to do it now or wait for Extreme Rules. And Alexa's like, I get it. You're the best. You won more women's titles than anyone, but you also lost more titles than any other woman in WWE.
Fair point.
She asked Flair, who are you without a title? Because nobody knows, because even you don't know. She said Flair has nothing to brag about if he doesn't have a title over her shoulder. She said she doesn't have to play mind games to expose Charlotte's insecurities because they were stamped on her forehead. She said Flair is terrified of losing the World Women's Championship and the division moving on without her, leaving her with nothing. She asked what Flair would say to the people if she didn't have a title. The fans wooed and she goes, that's not even originally yours. Charlotte came back, let's not talk about originality.
Another fair point.
Alexa said she gave Flair the doll as a pity gift because even a self-centered bitch like her deserves happiness. Alexa said Flair could call her crazy, but at least she knows who she is. Alexa calls Charlotte, can call her crazy all night long, but she will call her champ at Extreme Rules. Charlotte laughs. Flair mocks the idea of that. Then she shoves Alexa. Alexa comes back. They fight. She takes down Alexa. She rips the Charlie doll in half. Then she goes for Lily. Alexa gets control. Drops Charlotte with a DDT.
This was really, really good. Except for one thing. I have one ginormously huge issue with this. I need to talk to somebody about Charlotte Flair's makeup. I don't know why. And I'm not blaming anybody, okay? There is no blame on anybody here. But for whatever reason, the way that Charlotte gets made up, I don't know if her face can't take the heavy makeup anymore because she's lost a lot of weight. I don't know. I don't know if it's the products they're using. They don't sit right on her skin. Like, I'm not trying to blame anybody, but the makeup on Charlotte, especially recently, it's aging her really, really badly to the point that she's looking about 10 to 15 years older than she actually is. And that's not a bad thing. Like, there's nothing wrong with aging at all, right? Like, we all do it. We all go through it. But Charlotte's in her early 30s. And she's looking out here, actually, I would say it's actually probably more like 15 to 20, because she's out here almost looking like she's in her 50s. Just with the way that the makeup is, like, what it's doing to her face, and it's a combination of the makeup and the lighting, that it's just, her face is just not being caught in a pretty light. Or I should say not pretty, that's a wrong word, but like a nice light where they're not getting the good side, essentially. And I don't know what it is, but it's like, it's consistent ever since she's come back. Ever since. Like, I don't know what's going on there, but it's like, it was kind of almost distracting, especially with the way that she had her hair up, because she's got her hair up in like that top knot sort of like ponytail situation where it's sitting on the crown of her head. And then she's got her makeup, and then she's wearing like this red latex catsuit thing, which she looked really, really good in, but it's just, the whole thing was just really, really distracting. And I don't know if it was the red and that's what was aging her, because that particular red did not really go with her skin tone that well. It's a very bright, distracting red. And it just, she, at least for the way that it picked up on TV with the cameras and the lighting and everything like that, it just did not look right. I don't know. Maybe I'm insane, but just, it was really distracting in this entire promo, at least for me, to sit there and it just, it's distracting. Like, it just did not do nice things for her at all. And I know she's an exceptionally beautiful woman. So it's like, you see her like that and you're like, oh, that's kind of a shame. But like, the makeup aside, this was badass. This is how this should be. This is how this should go. I know a lot of people don't like Charlotte, especially in the title picture. I get it. I'm one of those two. I'm a little Charlotted out. It's like she doesn't need the title for the 40th time. But this is why she has the title. She's the top heel in the company. She's right up there with Roman. She might even surpass Roman. I'm not entirely sure on that. Don't know where the pecking order falls. But Charlotte for sure is the top heel in the women's division right now. She is the go-to. She is the person that when you need to get somebody over, when you need somebody to look like $1 million, you go to her. I love that she called out Alexa. I love that she's like, hey, you know, you used to be this. What happened to this? Why are you still like this? Because I think I said this on air. I don't know. But essentially, the original setup for this whole thing was that Bray had control over Alexa at one point. Then somehow the control switched to Alexa controlling Bray. That's how that went, where Bray gave power to her because he was quote-unquote in love with her, I guess. I don't know. But, like, it all started with Bray controlling Alexa and corrupting her with the darkness even further than she already was, and she turned into this. And then when Bray got set on fire and disappeared for 5 months, she absorbed all the darkness to bring him back and resurrect the fiend, and then she turned even into what she is now. And now the darkness, aka Bray Wyatt, is no more in the company. He's gone. So what is really tying her to the darkness? And I like that Charlotte took the shot. I like that Charlotte referenced the fact that, you know, hey, this isn't even an original character for you, because Alexa has been low-key called out for basically she was given the fiend gimmick, and or she was given a bastardized version of Bray Wyatt's gimmick, and that's what she's running with right now, and that is partially true. Like, it's not her fault that she was given that gimmick. That was, you know, she wasn't aware when they started all this that in less than a year he was going to get fired, kind of thing. But that's, you know, I like that Charlotte called that out. I like that Alexa called out the fact that the Woo wasn't even Charlotte's. Also, no mention of the controversy, which
just gonna leave it alone.
We're just not gonna touch it. Very appreciative that they didn't touch it. But yeah, this was good. And what I really liked is it leaves you guessing, because it's like Charlotte got the upper hand on Alexa, but Alexa got the upper hand on Charlotte. So you're not quite sure with this ending, even Steven, who's gonna win on Sunday, because it could go either way.
It kind of. We'll talk more about that on Thursday. So Drake Maverick had a plan.
Oh God.
To capture Reggie.
Oh, God.
It did not work. They had a plan of Drew Gulak distracting him, and then they drop a net, but the net dropped on Drew instead of Reggie, and then Reggie hightailed his ass out of there while taking a picture. It was a thing.
I know that this is, like, really, really popular, and I understand that they have, like, a stunt coordinator, I can speak, that works with them and, like, make sure that everything is top-notch, 100% safe. But every time they do these segments, I'm starting to get a little scared. Because I'm really worried that Reggie's going to hurt himself, especially when they're, like, in like, a backstage environment where there's all kinds of things that can fall and go wrong. It's like, oh, God, honey, no, please, please don't flip off that. That's dangerous. Please be careful. Like, it's cool and it's funny because, like, there's this master plan to get the 24/7 title back because Reggie's just gotten hold of it and he's going to flip his way out of it. But at the same time, it's like, maybe just let him have it. I don't know, because he can clearly outflip you,
I guess. Jeff Hardy is headed to Extreme.
Wait. Also, thumbs up on Drake Maverick's suit. Anyway, I'm sorry, continue.
Jeff Hardy is headed to Extreme Rules as he beat Sheamus to earn a spot in the match. So there you go. It was a good match, though.
Mr. Farley, can you please not fuck your face up? You're supposed to get married soon.
She's talking to Sheamus. And then it was your main event. Roman Reigns, Big E, Bobby Lashley, hell of a triple threat match between the three men. Brutal, hard-hitting, big moments. Lashley got pissed. He starts hammering Big E with a chair, left him open for a spear. Roman gets the win over Lashley. Hell of a main event.
You know, I'm a little mad that they didn't do this on a pay-per-view, because they really should have done this on a pay-per-view. It was that level of a match. However, the fact that we got it for free, I'm not going to complain. at all. This was a wonderful main event. I loved everything about this. I wouldn't mind seeing it again. Not right away, but I wouldn't mind seeing it again at some point down the line. Because this is probably, like we were talking about off, like during the show, this is probably one of the only times you're ever going to get to see the three of them together in real time. Because it's going to be years before really they all end up together on the same show. Because even with the draft coming in like a week-ish, 2 weeks.
10 days, 11 days.
Something like that. I very much doubt you're going to have Roman, Bobby, and Big E all on the same show. That just doesn't make sense. So, especially since Roman's a champion and Big E's a champion and you can't draft. Well, actually, no, I think they have done that. They've drafted like the SmackDown champion and the Raw champion on the same show and somebody had to lose a title or give it up. I think they've done that. Or was that the IC in the US?
They flipped the tag titles before.
Yeah, they did do the tag titles.
Oh.
Yeah, I have no idea, but I very much doubt they'll do it. So I like this. I enjoyed it. I thought this was a great main event. And I know some people may not be happy with the ending because, you know, LOL, Roman wins.
But Roman's the top guy. He should always go over.
But Paul Heyman clutching that title with his life. Can we just talk about that?
That was fantastic.
Like, even if anything else goes to hell, Paul Heyman will lovingly and adoringly clutch the title to his chest. Like it's a nightgown. I don't know. Or something else valuable. I have no idea.
That was Raw.
That was Raw.
Really good show. Really good wrestling. The New Day delivered. The main event delivered. Fantastic.
It was an interesting go home to Extreme Rules, which is this Sunday. Funny enough, there aren't that many extreme matches being set up.
We now have one.
We have one.
Before, yesterday we had none.
So it's kind of like, with it being Extreme Rules, they haven't set up any like Extreme Rules style matches. We're not seeing anything like No Holds Barred, anything like that. So it's kind of I'm curious to see where they're going with this.
I have a feeling
not sure.
Finn and Demon are Extreme Rules, and I figure Lashley and Big E, if it gets made, will be Extreme Rules. We'll talk more about that Thursday.
That's right. Tune in. We'll be previewing Extreme Rules on the Rack. We'll also be doing news, notes, NXT, all your favorites, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Saturday night, midnight ish, at CB Radio, CBRadio.com, GrandTheGreatDebate.com. Sunday night, Wrestling Talk Radio will be live to review the show of Extreme Rules at 11 p.m. Eastern. Next Monday night for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. Rack Extra Reviews NBA 2K22 will be available this week. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your discounts called Prime Gaming. You can support the channel by clicking that purple rectangle below the screen. It's September for another 10-ish days. So do the thing. You can also use credit code RocketSock or Lins M Ward in the Fortnite IM Shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
I don't even get to plug my own fucking code now?
Sorry?
Because we are hashtag epic partners, and this is a hashtag ad.
Plug your code again.
Code Lins M Ward in the Fortnite item shop, because I am a hashtag epic partner.
Feel better?
Yes.
Continue.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lins Ward, LNSWRD.
This has been the Raw Post Show live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. Oh, we're on TikTok at WTR Live.
I have nothing to do with that, by the way. That is not my fault.
You did kill me.
I'm sorry. Like I said, you said you were coming over the waterfall. I was running up to break the build. I can't help it. You face planted into the build before I could break it.
We'll see you Thursday for the Rack. Get right back here for the Raw Post Show every Monday night long. There is the Raw Talk Radio Network. Right here at twitch.tv/WTRLive.
WildTalkRadio.com.